Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, learn how to do more than just survive whatever test and challenge life throws at you.
The way you survive your testing is you need to be listening to the voice of God in the middle of your testing. And then as He speaks to you today, there is a responsiveness, a willingness to say, if you're speaking to me, God, I'm listening and I'm acting and I'm obeying.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Mark Job, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church and President of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, this past August, the students at Moody had the opportunity to hear Mark speak during a special President's Chapel. And in light of our current environment, we wanted to share this timely message with you. Many of us around the country are experiencing challenges that are testing us in a variety of ways. It's not just students facing tests these days, is it, Mark?
No, it's not. We are all in the middle of a very disruptive time that's testing our patience, our faith. And this particular message I preached in chapel at the beginning of the semester because I understood and knew that so many of the students were in the middle of a test and that this semester would be strange, different, stressful. And so many of them are coming from homes where they're worried about parents and, again, getting tested for COVID, having to wear masks. But it was great to be with the students, and they responded in such a phenomenal way.
Well, this message is for all of us, students or not. How to survive the test. So here's Moody President Mark Job.
As a spiritual leader, both as a pastor and the president of a college, I've been asking myself this question. God, what are you doing in our nation? God, what are you doing in our city? God, what are you doing at Moody Bible Institute? And God, what are you doing personally in our lives? And I can't get away from the idea of testing. This is a time of testing. We see it all through the Old Testament. We've seen in the New Testament that God will engage nations and cities and people in times of testing. And it is a good thing when God is testing, shaking, refining, purifying. It's a good thing. But not everybody survives the test well. And I want to begin by reading in verse 7, it says, "So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of," here it goes, "testing in the wilderness where your ancestors," here it is again, "tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did." This is going to be a testing time for all of us. It already is. The uptick in anxiety, isolation, stress, fear is at an all-time high. And this is not isolated to Chicago. This is across our nation. And obviously, we are all affected in one way or another. It's a testing of sorts. And I have to admit, we either fail the test or pass the test. And so I just want to make sure that during this testing time that you're prepared for this testing. In fact, I don't look at the future with gloom. I'm excited about what God is doing. So in Hebrews chapter 3, the writer of the Hebrews is describing a group of people who is going through a testing. And he's talking to them. They had gotten stuck in this testing. They're getting pressured by the world, the pressures of society, of persecution is encroaching upon them. And so the writer of the Hebrews is reminding these believers of the testing that they're going through, and he throws them back several hundred years to a testing that the people of Israel went through, and he says, let's learn some lessons from the people of Israel that went through this testing. And so, I just want to remind you that time plus growth equals maturity. Time plus stagnation or non-growth equals immaturity. Just because you lived as a believer for the last 15 years does not mean that you are a mature individual. Time does not create maturity. It's time accompanied with transformation and growth that brings us to maturity. I know a lot of people that have been believers for a long time, decades sometimes. And I would have to say, they're still baby Christians in their maturity level and the way they operate because they say, well, I've been a believer for 25 years. Yeah, you've been a believer for 25 years, but I feel like you've been repeating kindergarten over and over and haven't grown to maturity, because maturity is not based on time. Maturity is based on time plus growth, and that equals maturity. And the writer of the Hebrews is reminding these people, hey, you're in a time of testing, but this can be an incredible time of growth if you allow it to be. He first of all reminds them about this. You need to fight the pull to postpone obedience that leads to hardening. Notice he says in verse 7, so as the Holy Spirit says. That's really an interesting phrase. He doesn't say as Scripture says, as God says. He says as the Holy Spirit says. And I'm not really sure exactly why the writer of Hebrews approaches it that way, but I think he's bringing a present, a immediate now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. The third person of the Godhead that takes the power, the word of Scripture, he's making it not just as Scripture says in the past or as the word of God says. He's reminding them that the Holy Spirit, third person of the Godhead, active and alive, that convicts, that instructs, that teaches. Today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And he says that the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. So it's about the present. Today if you hear his voice. What voice? The voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit. What does that voice sound like? Well, it's not an audible voice. He speaks through Scripture, but he speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, and you are convicted, encouraged, challenged, changed. It's the small whisper of God that if you've been a believer for some time, you start to learn to recognize the prompting and the voice of the Holy Spirit, that he speaks to you through the word or through messages or through worship. But it's the Holy Spirit that's challenging you to grow. So he says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. During the time of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors tested me and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. This phrase, do not harden your heart, is in the present active. In other words, in the Greek, it indicates that we do this to ourselves. It's not a hardening that is done to us. It's a hardening that we do to ourselves. How do we harden ourselves? How do you grow hard towards the Spirit of God in the time of testing? This is how you grow hard. When you hear the promptings of God, the convictions of God, the Spirit of God speaking to you, and you postpone, delay, or resist obedience. The more you say no, the more you delay, the more you procrastinate, then you will discover that your heart grows a little harder every time. A little harder, a little harder, a little harder, a little harder, until the day comes where it's very easy to ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit because your heart has become so hard. Come on, has it happened to you? Man, it's happened to me. in areas of disobedience where the Spirit of God is speaking to me. And usually if it's easy, we would have done it. I got to forgive someone, have a conversation, release an attitude, break of my pride, confess selfishness. Those hard things that God is working on us, when the Holy Spirit is prompting us, what the author of the Hebrews is saying is that the way you survive your testing is you need to be listening to the voice of God in the middle of your testing. And then as he speaks to you today in the present, there is a responsiveness, a willingness to say, if you're speaking to me, God, I'm listening and I'm acting and I'm obeying. That continues to keep our hearts soft and sensitive to the work of God. The incident that the writer of the Hebrews is referring to, you can find it in Numbers chapter 20, verse 1 through 13, or Exodus chapter 17, verse 6 through 7. It says, so Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah, which means testing, and Meribah, which means quarreling, testing and quarreling. Because the Israelites quarreled because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us? Can I tell you this? Let me just say this real. Oh, man, I wish I could preach, but you know, I'm keeping my eye on the clock here. Can I tell you this? How you handle pain, what you do in pain, is important because your response to pain can either lead you to be a cynical, critical, disgruntled, joyless individual, or your response to pain can cause you to lean into Jesus in a deeper, more powerful way and let pain be a tool that molds you and shapes you like nothing else. There's always pain in testing. What do I mean by pain? Pain can come in a lot of various forms. Life isn't what you expected to be. You have to give something up. I mean, I don't have to speak to you of all of our worlds have been incredibly disruptive over the last 5 months. And there's pain in it. And I want to encourage you with this, not discourage you, but encourage you that God can use your pain if you choose to lean into him during this time of pain, because it's a testing time. The second thing that the writer of the Hebrews tells us is this. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Secondly, he says, recognize the condition of your heart before it starts to turn away. So he's talking to Hebrews that are in the middle of testing, and he says, hey, brothers and sisters, he says, see to it. That word, see to it, in the Greek is blepo, means to discern mentally and observe, perceive, or discover. You know, this is a self-examination. It's up to you to do a heart check on a regular basis and say, where am I, God? Have I allowed stuff to creep into my heart? This is a careful observation of our soul. This is an examination of our heart. This is a, let me be honest with you, God, through the lens of the Word, through worship, through response to the Holy Spirit. The very first chapel I did here, when I became president, I handed out buttons because I reminded the students that if you don't get the first button right, all of the other buttons will be wrong. I've gotten up in the middle of the night trying not to wake up my wife. You know, try to button my shirt and get out, and I realize, uh-oh, I got it wrong. So if you get the first button wrong, all the other buttons will be misaligned. Can I tell you what your first button is? Not as a moody student, but as a follower of Jesus. Your first button is what Jesus told Martha when he talked to Mary and Martha. And he says, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that, One thing is needed. One thing. Not four, five, six, one thing. What was that one thing? That one thing that Mary chose was to have a posture of surrender at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words attentively and allowing him to speak to her. Now I want to challenge you. Take responsibility for your own spiritual life. A class is not going to do that. A chapel's not going to do that. The church that you attend is not going to do that. Your small group is not going to do that. You need to take responsibility of your own spiritual life and determine, I will not forsake that one thing that Jesus said is needed, and that is sitting at his feet in a posture of surrender, listening to his words and responding with obedience. You are responsible for keeping your heart close to Jesus. And he says, of course, a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns us away from the living God. Unbelief is rooted in not trusting. It's not the inability to understand, but it's the unwillingness to trust. He says, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So number three, safeguard your heart through regular spiritual encouragement. But encourage one another daily. And that's a lot of encouragement. Encourage one another daily. He's talking to believers who are in the middle of testing. He's telling them, hey, you need community. Yeah, take responsibility for your own spiritual life, but there's someone beside you. There may be a roommate that's struggling deeper than what you think, and your words of encouragement go a long way. This is a daily encouragement. It seems overboard, but there's a daily encouragement as long as it's still called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The word that's used here for encourage is the word parakaleo. Does that sound familiar? Those of you who've been around a little bit, the word parakaleo is used for the Holy Spirit in John. He says, wait, because the parakaleo will come, the one that walks beside you, that's your coach, that's your counselor, that's your helper, he's going to come. The word parakaleo is made up of two words, para, which means beside, and kaleo, which means to call out loud. So he's saying this, I want you to walk beside people, and I want you to speak into their lives. That's encouragement. And it's not always just, hey, bro, you're going to make it. Hey, turn to Jesus. Hey, I'm here with you. That's important. But it's also speaking truth into their lives when they need to have truth. That's encouragement. It's pushing us forward. It's causing us to grow. And so I want to challenge you as you start developing community here at Moody, as you start to get to know your friends, you build your little circle. I want to encourage you that you would walk beside people in your circle, and that you would not be afraid to speak truth in love into their lives. Walk alongside of them. I was 17 when I started at Moody. I came straight from Spain. And my second semester, I got a roommate. His name was John Palmieri. He was about 18. I had just turned 18. He had gotten saved at a beer party in Baltimore, Maryland the year before. The only believer in his own family. I have no idea how he got into Moody. But he was like straight up new believer zealous. And I tell you what, him and I developed a really close relationship of spurring each other on, of checking on each other's spiritual lives. We would go down to Rush Street and do evangelism, talk to people about Jesus. And he went through a hard time where he decided to quit. He was done, full of guilt, struggling with just his own stuff. And he went to Baltimore. And I felt like, no, this guy needs to be here. So he didn't know this. I traveled all the way to Baltimore, showed up at his doorstep and said, hey, bro, you're coming back to Moody because you got a call on your life. And you need to continue on with God. And he came back. And now he's a pastor that's planted a bunch of churches, led tons of people to Christ. But I needed someone to spur me on, and he needed someone to spur him on as well. But I'm so grateful that I had people like him that would call me out on things. And he called me out on sin in my own life, challenged me. And I called him out on sin in his own life and encouraged him when he needed to. So that kind of honest transparency that you need to find, and it may not be your roommate, but I encourage you to get those parakaleo relationships so that you can continue to go on. And let me tell you this, by the way, the language of the enemy is confusion, deception, and division. The language of God, clarity, truth, and unity. So speak it in the people that are around you. Listen, we live in a time in our country where our country is more polarized, divided, antagonistic than almost any other time that I can remember. And this is only going to increase. A lot of it's political, a lot of it's social, but it's going to increase. And it'll spill over into the corridors of Moody Bible Institute. So I want to challenge you as students to remember, before you're anything politically, before you're anything socially, you are first of all followers of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. That is your first identity. Everything else is subject to your first identity, which means that you are a follower of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the Living God, regardless of whether you come from the North or the South, regardless if you're the Republican or Democrat, regardless if you're a Cubs fan or a Sox fan, regardless of the color of your skin, you are first of all a follower of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the Living God. And so we're going to have to fight, intentionally, yeah, to have good, honest, and conversations, but remember, first of all, we are followers of Jesus, and that unites us deeper and stronger than any political party could unite us, than any color of skin could unite us, than any social economic stratus could unite us. We are, first of all, followers of the living God, bonded together by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then lastly, he goes on to say this. He repeats basically what he said before. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. As has been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion. So lastly, I just want to challenge you, don't procrastinate in responding to the voice of God. So today, if you hear his voice, today, not tomorrow, what has God been saying to you? What has he been speaking to you over the last couple of weeks? Have you been listening? Have you been stopping to hear? Have you listened to the convicting, encouraging, powerful voice of the Holy Spirit? And if you're hearing his voice, are you responding in obedience? That's the way you've passed the test. I was sitting here in this very chapel years ago, and I had developed a bit of a critical, disgruntled, cynical attitude towards being at Moody. And I was sitting there, and a guy by the name of George Verwer, who started Operation Mobilization, he spoke from this chapel, and he said, "Don't let a spiritual irritation turn into a critical spirit, because it'll take away your joy and derail you from your calling." And I remember that day repenting with tears flowing down my face. And I said, "God, I will not allow a critical, judgmental, disgruntled spirit. Father, change my heart. God, let me appreciate what I'm learning. Let me view people not in a judgmental way, God. Change my heart, because I don't want to waste this time, Lord." And it took, that was a turnaround for me, because I heard his voice. And by God's grace, I respond.
This is Bold Steps, and you're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job. And Mark will return in just a moment with a special in-studio conversation, so stay with us here. Well, few people have more impact on this nonprofit ministry than those who have chosen to partner with us each month. As a Bold partner, you're helping us reach listeners all across the country with Mark's unique and fresh take on the gospel. And we're hearing from people in Texas, California, even Singapore. Each comment or letter we receive confirms that God is working through the generosity of our bold partners. And if you'd like to join this team, we'd love to add your name to our growing list of people dedicated to sharing the life-transforming power of the gospel. Just call 844-615-7363 or give online when you go to boldstepsradio.org. And when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Rhett Smith's book, The Anxious Christian. Face your fears while learning how to make intentional decisions about your career, marriage, money, and your spiritual life. Well, Mark, tomorrow we kick off a new series called Defiance, Turning Your World Upside Down. Give us a little preview, if you would.
Yeah, we don't always see defiance connected with believers, but down through Scripture and even now, we have to defy this culture. We stand oftentimes in opposition to where the culture is going. And this is not a rebellious defiance, but this is a spiritual, holy defiance that resists caving into the culture.
I can't wait to hear the message. It begins tomorrow here on Bold Steps. Thank you, Mark. Again, you'll hear that message Thursday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.